Welcome to Stock Talk, the new Stockhouse podcast series that brings you behind-the-scenes insights into trending topics from capital markets, influencers, and entrepreneurs, broadcasting from the heart of the financial district in beautiful downtown Vancouver. We are here at the Sprott Natural Resource Symposium in Vancouver 2019. I am thrilled to be joined by a man that, of course, needs no introduction, the legendary Rick Rule. Thank you for joining me today, Rick.
Well, I'm delighted to have Stockhouse at the conference. It's great.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. Rick, of course, is the president and CEO of Sprott US Holdings, and he's here to share some of his vast investing knowledge with our investors today. First of all, Rick, can you tell me a little bit about the Sprott Symposium and what you're looking forward to, what speakers, investors are looking forward to?
We're lucky to have been putting on this conference here in Vancouver for more than 20 years. So one thing about the conference is that we have a sort of core of speakers, exhibitors, and attendees that give the conference some interest. It's important, too, to note that this conference is really run by the attendees. All of the good ideas from the conference actually have come from attendees over the years. One thing that sets us apart from other conferences in the sector is that every single exhibitor here is owned in a Sprott-managed account, which means that we own every exhibitor. Sadly, that doesn't necessarily guarantee that the share price goes up, but it means that every exhibitor has been vetted. The attendees have told us that exhibitors aren't merely advertisers, but they're content too. The consequence of that is that we've made it happen. A second thing that I hope you'll be interested in, many of your listeners will be interested in, is last year, many people told us that they wanted more female participation in the conference. Yeah. The consequence of that, since the conference belongs to the attendees, is that we're graced this year by the presence of Nomi Prinz, who will knock people out, and Daniela DiMartina Booth. In addition, we're having a panel, for the first time that we've had it, about women who have made people hundreds of millions and billions of dollars in mining. This isn't the politically correct, let's have some chicks on stage. This is women who have made investors large amounts of money in mining. We're attracted to this at Sprott, not out of some politically correct sense, but out of a sense that if you ignore half of the IQ in humankind, you cut yourself out of the probabilities of making some money. So we're really excited about this theme. We have great headline speakers. We have gurus, newsletter writers who reach over a million paid subscribers. We have a curated group of companies, and we have it in a city that is a center of excellence worldwide for mineral exploration and mineral exploration finance. We're delighted to be here.
Fantastic. Well, this sounds like it's going to be a very eventful week, so we're looking forward to the next 4 days of the Sprott Symposium. Can you give us some insight into some of the different resource sectors that are represented at the conference, and maybe start with gold, silver, copper? Let me know what your thoughts are on that landscape.
As Canadians, you'll know that Sprott in investment markets is sort of synonymous with precious metals. We manage well over $6 billion in physical bullion holdings as Sprott. And so people look to us for gold, silver, and precious metals equities, which of course are well represented here. The metals have also performed well recently, and the stocks have really, really performed. But it's important to note, I think, that all resource markets, including gold and silver, are cyclical businesses. Bear markets are the authors of bull markets. And it's important to note that we've been through a 7-year bear market, one that's truly for the record books. The consequence of that is that although gold is up and gold stocks are up, they have a long, long, long way to run. That's really important for people to understand. So we're excited about the precious metal sector as a company and also in the context of this symposium. Because the theme of this symposium for a long time has been exploration, we're not slaves to gold. We've made money in the copper business. We've made money in the lead and zinc business. We've made money in a lot of businesses. And good discoveries, irrespective of the commodity, can be expected to do well. So you will see coming to this conference people in the uranium business, people in the copper business, people involved in many commodities. But the truth is that the genesis of this conference is precious metals.
Correct. Could you speak to perhaps the diamond industry has had a rough couple of years. Could you give us some insight into what you see happening in that space moving forward for the end of 2019?
Diamonds are hellishly tough to find. So in terms of a diamond exploration business, it's a manic depressive business. Most of your life, you are confronted by a decade of failures looking for diamonds. And then occasionally somebody hits a diamond mine and the game is a 50 bagger or a 60 bagger. The truth is, not surprisingly, that success in diamonds is distributed unevenly. High quality people seem to have great results. We unfortunately couldn't get Ira Thomas here this year as a consequence of the fact that she had other things to do. Were I in the diamond business, which I'm not right now, I would be aggregating over people that had been serially successful in diamonds in the past. I would tell you this, people who are going to speculate in diamonds need deep, deep, deep knowledge in the diamond business. And you need to be advised by people like John Kaiser, as an example, who have 20 years experience analyzing diamond stocks. This is not a place for the faint of heart.
Okay, fair enough. On that note, can you give me some commentary on the uranium sector in light of Section 232 that has come to pass, come about, and let me know your thoughts in that area?
Well, 232 would have benefited me personally in the sense that I have interest in U.S. uranium producers. The fact that it looks like it hasn't passed, I think, is very good policy. The idea that Trump owes me a living. Constraining uranium to U.S. producers, I think, is extremely bad policy. So I'm delighted that it didn't pass, despite the fact that it would have benefited me personally. But the uranium business is much bigger than the United States. The truth is that uranium is produced and consumed around the world. The important things to know about uranium is that the International Energy Agency, the agency charged with knowing these things, suggests that the total cost to produce a pound of uranium is about $60. That includes prior year write-downs, which the companies don't want to talk about, and cost of capital. So you make the stuff for $60 and you sell it for $27. You lose $33 a pound, you do it 100 million times a year. That gets boring. Now, I think the outcome is simple arithmetic. I think over 5, 6, or 7 years, either the price of uranium goes up to the cost of production, or the lights go out. I think those are two choices. And I think it's much more likely that the price of uranium goes up to its replacement cost. If the price of uranium were to go from $27 to $60, the impact on some of these small uranium companies would be reminiscent of the prior bull market in uranium. Now, what's interesting about that, aside from the quantum of the move, is the fact that there are a lot of well-heeled speculators who remember the last uranium bull market. And I don't think that you would have to wait for the uranium price to get to 60. I think that the anticipation on the few remaining uranium stocks in the world would be superb. That being said, it could be 2 years from now, it could be 3 years from now. But what I like about it is it seems to me that the answer to the question about an increase in uranium price is a when question. Not an if question. It's going to occur. The question is when. Too many speculators ask themselves questions where the answer must begin with if. Right. At 66, I prefer when to if.
Perfect. That's fantastic. Is there any other sector that you feel particularly bullish on that you'd like to speak on or let investors know about?
There's a few themes that investors need to pay attention to. One is mergers and acquisition. The industry is consolidating, and consolidation is good. One problem in the industry is that we have too much general and administrative expense relative to assets under management and relative to EBIT. The best way to solve that is to send some managers to manager heaven, have mergers. And those are good things. Everybody has been focused for a year on buying the guys that they thought were takeover targets, which is a great theme. But there's another theme emerging that your listeners should pay attention to. After these mergers take place, the big companies that have done the mergers sell off assets that aren't core to them, and finding the Ross Beatties, the Bob Quartermains, the Clive Johnsons that can take those assets and build big companies out of them is much more lucrative. It doesn't make you money as quickly, but it makes you more money. Let's roll this back to the last M&A period, the second to the last M&A period, the one that was in the 90s. In that period, Bob Quartermain, buying assets cast off by big companies, took Silver Standard from 72 cents to $45. Ross Beatty took Pan American from 50 cents to $45. Ross Beatty then took Lumina Copper from 50 cents to, if my memory serves me well, $160. The M&A theme associated with very high quality people taking assets that have been underappreciated where they are and building big companies out of them is a theme that people need to pay attention to. The second theme, because I know that Stockhouse has begun to attract a great number of millennial investors.
Absolutely.
In a bull market, at the beginning of a bull market, you don't buy the company that might go the best if everything works out. You buy the best companies. Building your portfolios. People don't understand that in a resource bull market, the best companies, the ones ironically that move the least because they started off in good shape, go up 200 or 300%. So buy the best. Buy the royalty and streaming companies, 70% operating margins, superb companies. You can buy the rest later. Buy the best now. Very, very important. I would say that the third thing for your veteran Canadian speculators is that the market has underinvested and misinvested in exploration for 20 years. The consequence of that is that the exploration pipelines and the major mining companies and the mid-tiers are empty. The prospect generators, the people who generate exploration ideas, which they then farm out to other mining companies to get carried interests, are underloved, underappreciated, dirt cheap, and set to go crazy in the next 5 years for those that have the courage.
Excellent. Well, this is all very solid advice, I'd say. Can you also let us know what's on your watch list these days?
Well, certainly the themes that I just went through.
Yep.
What has turned out to me to be most important in whatever success I've enjoyed in my investing career has been really three things. Be lonely. Be in a market where there's no competition. Buffett famously said, buy straw hats in winter. We're coming out of winter, so there's a lot of ways to participate there. The second thing, which I think is important, is to buy the very best people. Luck doesn't distribute itself evenly, and people who have been successful in the past tend to be successful in the future, which means if you concentrate on the very, very, very best people, you will do better than your competitors. The third thing is own stocks for a reason. This isn't a business where you got a hunch, you bet a bunch. You speculate because you think a small company is going to answer some unanswered question. If the answer comes back no, you must sell the stock. Too often, people buy stocks, whatever reason they bought it for, if they had a reason, doesn't occur, and they hold the stock. This is insane. If the reason to own a stock goes away, the stock must go away. Hope is a four-letter word. It's not a strategy.
Very good advice. I think I have been guilty of some of those things in the past myself, so thank you for reiterating. Any other Rick Ruleisms that you can share with investors to help them invest like a pro?
Well, we've covered a lot of them. I mean, people are important. Having reasons to own stock is important. What's probably the most important is that most of your listeners own too many stocks. I tell people that they should own the number of stocks that corresponds with the number of hours per month that they spend studying their portfolio. And when I say studying their portfolio, I don't mean a stock quote. That's not information. It's a floating abstraction. What I mean is the proxy statement, the annual report, the press releases. Own the number of stocks that corresponds to the number of hours per month that you spend monitoring your speculation. Warren Buffett once said that we would be best off looking at our portfolio as though it were a hog farm. There's room at my trough for 10 hogs because I'm going to spend 10 hours per month. If a new hog comes on, he's got to kick an old hog off. And I would suggest that that would really, really help your listeners if they paid attention to that.
Okay, that's great advice, Rick. Thank you so much. For investors who are unable to attend this wonderful event in person, is there a way that they can share in the Sprott Symposium experience?
Two ways. The first is a general way. Linked, I think, to this interview will be a place that you can buy the recordings from the interview. It's not as good as being here personally. It's not as good as getting the body language from somebody. It's not as good as the conversations that you could get into, but it beats the hell out of nothing. So take a look at the interview. You can play it again and again and again. I do. Secondly, however, special for Stockhouse listeners, if you want to, you can email me personally, rrule, R-R-U-L-E, at sprottglobal.com. Send me a list of your existing natural resource stocks, names and symbols, both in the text. I will email back a ranking from 1 to 10 of your natural resource stocks with comments as appropriate. This is not investment advice. I'm ranking companies. But one of the ways to participate in the knowledge of the Sprott organization is simply for us to give you a customized portfolio review, no obligation whatsoever.
Well, that's a fantastic offer from Rick Rule, who is the king of investing in the natural resource sector. Excellent offer for Stockhouse investors. Thank you so much, Rick. As always, it's just a pleasure to be joined by Rick. His insight and knowledge in the industry is unmatched, really, and it's very nice to see you in Vancouver at the Sprott Natural Resource Symposium 2019. And Vancouver always welcomes you. We love that you're around and down the street from us and love to see you every summer. We're lucky about the beautiful weather, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for your support of the conference. We look forward to seeing you here for many years.
Fantastic. Thank you, Rick.
Just a reminder to follow us on social media at Stockhouse for the latest updates on all your favorite public companies in North America. For more in-depth coverage, industry news, and to connect with our active investor community, you can visit our website at stockhouse.com. Also, don't forget to visit our new and improved Stockhouse Deal Room on site for unique and exclusive private placement opportunities only available on stockhouse.com.